At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
A warmer friendly hello, welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Gray Hoop Spears, and now a part of the Beeson Family Podcast, and we do have an amazing podcast for you. In the second segment, we're going to be chatting with Tobias Bass. He does a great job looking at all things college basketball, whether it be recruiting, the transfer portal. He's looking at a lot of these NBA draft prospects, so naturally, we're going to be talking about some of the winners and losers that we've seen over the last few days with NBA draft decisions now in the books, and we wound up seeing a big-time transfer to a team that I'm going to be talking about here in the first segment in Gonzaga, the fact that they get Malachi Smith. Where does he have them ranked as of right now with regards to a too early top 25? So we're going to be chatting about that with Tobias, and he's also going to give a mid-major team that might be a little bit under the radar that he feels like deserves a little bit more credit for what they've done this offseason. So going to have a great chat there with Tobias, who does an amazing job over there at The Athletic. And then in the final segment, going to give you guys a little bit of a recap as to everything that we wound up seeing in college basketball on Thursday. We wound up seeing a player at a power conference school and a big one wind up reclassifying to be able to help them out a little bit. Wound up seeing a couple transfer portal moves as well, including a guy out there that is going to be going to Conference USA and hoping to uplift a program that has been a little bit down in the dumps. So we've got a great podcast for you there. And if you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one or two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at @GUnit_D1. Keep in mind, letters EM. They mean does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. The other way is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to find whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. And a lot of the questions I got is, where do we have Gonzaga coming into the season? What to make out of them? And I know that a lot of people like to give a lot of flack to Gonzaga because they have yet to be able to hoist up that title, but I do have to remind people, it is not easy to win a title. I've got Gonzaga at number one. I know that a lot of people, they're going to claim that, you know what, Gonzaga, they've got a powder puff schedule and things like that out there in conference, but allow me to read off some of the teams that Gonzaga has played out of conference and has not just played out of conference, because it's one thing to wind up scheduling a bunch of these very difficult teams out of conference, because we see it with the SWAC and the MEAC all the time. They wind up having bye games, but not only schedule these teams, but be able to get those wins as well. How about if we wind up taking a look just at this previous season in general? They wind up playing host to Texas. They wind up knocking them off by double figures. On injured court, they took down UCLA by double figures. They did wind up taking losses to Duke and Alabama, but they wound up beating on a neutral court Texas Tech by a double figure amount of points. We want to go back a year as well to the 2020-21 season. On a neutral court, Auburn, West Virginia, Iowa, Kansas, all wind up falling to the seam along with Virginia as well. Obviously, you could go into the NCAA tournament and add in their Creighton, USC, UCLA, Oklahoma, but I mean, those are the teams that they wound up knocking off during the 2020-21 season. If we want to go back another year, they wound up going on the road. They slaughtered Texas A&M by 30 points. They were able to take down Oregon in a neutral court game. They wound up losing to Michigan, you may recall that season, but then they took down a ranked Washington team. They took down a ranked Arizona team. UNC was down at the time. They wind up taking them down. So this is a Gonzaga team that time and time again, they have been able to back it up. I understand that there is a little bit of a narrative that this is a team that they don't wind up getting it done in the NCAA tournament. But the reason why I don't ever wind up firing in on futures prior to the NCAA tournament field itself being announced is because It all depends upon the draw. Like, let's go back to this previous NCAA tournament. I did wind up having Kansas winning the whole thing. Those of you guys that wanted to take in the bracket and wanted to listen to my bracket preview show, you were on Kansas as well. So hopefully I wound up making you a little bit of money there. And with regards to Kansas, the reason why I wound up having them winning the whole shebang was not because I wound up having them as my number one team. As a matter of fact, at no point during the college basketball season did I wind up having Kansas as my number one team, but they wound up getting by far the easiest draw. They did not wind up having to play a team seated higher than second, and that was Villanova, who was dealing with all sorts of injuries when it came to the Final Four. That is why I wound up taking Kansas to win the national championship. As a matter of fact, I thought that Gonzaga's draw was so bad that they would get knocked out in the Sweet 16. Thought it would be UConn that wound up doing it, but that's just the beauty of college basketball and how difficult it is. Do we want to be seeing these teams be able to bust through and win some titles? And should we have a little bit of question marks when it comes to teams that have not been able to? Absolutely, but we look at Tony Bennett now in a little bit of a different light than we did a few seasons ago because he was able to bust through and win a title. If Tony Bennett's team doesn't wind up winning a title, and that 2019 Virginia team, you may recall, they were very, very blessed. Go no further than that Purdue game in the Final Four against Auburn. They needed that late foul, which I felt like it was a foul. There was a lot of, shall we say, interesting stuff that wound up happening in that final play in general, but it is what it is. Virginia wound up winning the national title. I wound up picking them in that as well. And, well, my bracket was very, very blessed that season, to say the least. But should we be looking at Tony Bennett any differently now that he was able to win a title and it was due to, I'm going to call it what it is, a lot of luck, rather than if he didn't? I don't think so, because Tony Bennett's still an amazing coach. His team didn't wind up making the NCAA tournament this year. Meanwhile, Gonzaga, they made seven straight Sweet 16s, and if you want to be throwing some slander the way of Gonzaga, you gotta look in the mirror as well. I'm looking at you, Big Ten fans, who the last team from the Big Ten to win a national title, that'd be the 2000 Michigan State Flintstones. I'm looking at you, Pac-12 fans, and both of these conferences have done zippity-doo-dah in the transfer portal, other than Illinois. I'll give Illinois some credit. They've been doing a very nice job. You're going to hear me talk about that with Tobias. I'm a fan of the great state of Wisconsin. I am a Wisconsin Badgers fan. My sister wound up going to college there, and I am very willing to admit that they're probably a little bit too stuck in their ways, and I do think that with the Pac-12 not having won a title since 1997, and year in and year out, Gonzaga playing these Pac-12 teams, and year in and year out, beating these Pac-12 teams, that shows you right there that Gonzaga has been able to build something special. Do we want to see Gonzaga be able to bust through before we wind up putting them in the all-time greats and the all-time blue bloods? Oh, absolutely. I mean, you can't consider Gonzaga blue blood with zero titles or anything like that, but with that said, saying that they don't deserve to be number one because they have never won a title, well, do we deserve to be putting some of these Big Ten teams at number one? Did UCLA deserve to be number two last season, coming into the season? Absolutely not as well. So we can give Gonzaga all the shade in the world that we want, but this is a program that they bring in just such high levels amount of talent year in and year out. They're a team that makes the second week of the NCAA tournament, and just to have that consistency in general, I ain't looking no further than North Carolina. Had we had an NCAA tournament in 2020, they wouldn't have been in it. They were a little bit of a bubble team until about 4 weeks before the NCAA tournament. If it wasn't for that win that they wound up having at Cameron Indoor, who knows what winds up happening there? I still think that they probably would have gotten in, but wasn't necessarily going great for them prior to then. And then they wind up making a national title game, which, by the way, if you're looking at Gonzaga, they made 2 out of the last 5 title games as well. This is not to be any sort of fanboy or anything like that. We are all about making money. I will take the same approach, whether that be the resume of Gonzaga. You put that resume on a team that is like Wichita State, if it's Duke, if it's Wisconsin, if the name is different, but that resume is the same and they'd be receiving the same amount of slander, I would say the same thing about any of them. So hopefully that was a little bit entertaining for you guys and just sort of my thoughts on Gonzaga in general. I do, as of right now, have them as my number one team in all of college basketball coming into the season, obviously subject to change because, well, it's June, so we could wind up seeing some things change. You could wind up seeing Pete Nance go to one of those Big Bomber teams in the transfer portal. That could wind up changing some things around, but that's what I've got right now, and that's why I do think that Gonzaga doesn't necessarily quite deserve as much slander as they've gotten. Not to say that they should not at some point bust their own win a title, but winning a title is tough. There's over 350 D1 teams, and to be the last team standing, that is not an easy feat. And I give Gonzaga a lot of credit for what they've done, and always have to give credit to Tobias Bass and what he's done, because he does an amazing job covering college basketball for The Athletic. Coming up next, we're going to be chatting with them about Malachi Smith going to Gonzaga, some of the winners and losers of NBA draft decisions, and a little bit about Illinois out there in the Big Ten as well. That's up next right here on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Spears, and now a part of the VSiN Family Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Pierce, and now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. And it is great to be joined by our guest as we've got Tobias Bass on the show. He is doing a terrific job over there at The Athletic, does a tremendous job taking a look at the game of college basketball, really does a little bit of everything when it comes to taking a look at the game of college basketball. He's done a great job taking a look at the transfer portal, does an amazing job taking a look at the incoming freshmen, does some NBA draft stuff as well. So he's got all the bases covered in terms of that. And to be able to follow Tobias on Twitter, that is at his name, Tobias. Got an underscore in between that and then his last name, Bass, B-A-S-S. And Tobias, great to have you aboard. Thank you.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me on.
Great to have you aboard. And Tobias, over the last, I'll call it 48 hours, depending upon when people are listening to this, we have seen really the big NBA draft decisions wind up getting made. And in your opinion, what were some of the most surprising things that we wound up seeing for them? Because for me personally, the most surprising person that wound up returning was Jaquavion Smith. I thought that he was as good as gone from an NC State team that was dead last in the ACC, in a very down ACC, but he decided to come back, so I was a little bit surprised about that. Were there any other ones, whether it be a guy staying or a guy going, that really caught you by surprise?
I mean, I guess selfishly, I wanted some of the Michigan guys to come back. I just thought that they weren't ready. They had okay years. I really wasn't I mean, I get they're going to chase the money, but just based on production, the production just wasn't there, especially from the freshman. He didn't have as great of a season. And this was a guy, he was projected to be a top 7 or 10 pick at the beginning of the year. So the fact that he decided to go anyway, he's probably going to be a mid-second round pick. I mean, you know, best of luck to him and his future endeavors, but I feel like he's setting his system for a tough time.
Yep, I'm right there with you. When it comes to Musa Diabate, I really question his NBA draft stock there. Rumors out there that Caleb Houston wanted getting some sort of a promise, which is why he didn't wind up going to Combine. And if that's the case, well, good on him. You might as well get paid. But certainly a little bit intriguing there. And it's going to be fascinating to take a look at that Big Ten in general, because I do think that it is quite down. And when it comes to the Big Ten, it's been a while since they've won a national title. And I know that there's a lot of people that they like to throw flack at this program because they've never been able to hoist up that championship trophy. But I take a look at Gonzaga right now, and I think that they've got to be right there in the conversation for number one. They wind up bringing back all their guys when it comes to their NBA draft decisions. Julian Strother, Drew Timmy, along with Rajir Bolton, all return. And then we wound up seeing on Thursday, they're bringing in Malachi Smith to go along with Efton Reed. I'm not sure where you've got Gonzaga ranked right now, but in terms of my own personal rankings, it's hard for me to not put them number one, and I thought that they were really the big winners of what we've seen the last 7 days.
Yeah, I agree. They definitely be one on my board for sure. I mean, you bring back everybody. You bring back Timmy, Strother, Bolton. Then you add in a guy of a player of the year in the SoCon Conference, and Malachi Smith, Efton Reed, another five-star recruit that has a bunch of potential. I mean, they're going to be loaded. I mean, they're definitely going to be preseason number one, I think. So just hopefully this year, we have a long way until then, but hopefully they can get them a championship. I mean, how close have they been the last 3 to 4 years, and they just simply can't get it done. So maybe this is the year.
Yep, and I do think that it's one of those things in which I always get confused by a lot of people that they want to throw flack Gonzaga's way, as we do have Tobias Bash joining me on the podcast, because, yeah, I do think that it's a little bit fair to say that Gonzaga hasn't been able to get it done. They haven't been able to win the title, but they have made the national championship game in 2 out of the last 5 years. And I mean, if we want to be pointing fingers at conferences and schools that haven't got it done, the Pac-12 hasn't hoisted up a title since Arizona 1997. I love the Big Ten. I am from the state of Wisconsin. Last time a Big Ten team wound up winning the title, ironically enough, they were in the ACC. That's Maryland, if you want to get really technical, but a school actually out there in the Big Ten, that would be the Flintstones of Michigan State in 2000. So I do feel like a little bit of public perception. Why is it going up against Gonzaga? How, why? I don't really know how it wound up manifesting itself, but I do think that they wind up taking a little bit too much flack by a lot of those out there because they haven't necessarily won a title, even though year in and year out, they've been able to find themselves in the second week of the tournament.
No, I agree. I mean, people got to understand how hard that is. Look at Tom Izzo. He's been the Final Four 6 or 7 times. He's only won it once. That just shows you how hard it is. The fact that they're doing this consistently year after year shows them what type of, you know, good program they have and such a great coach in Mark Few. So I think they probably get the flack is because they're in the WCC. They don't really play anybody for 2 to 3 months, roughly. I mean, their conference, I think, is a little better than it's given, but for the most part, the conference isn't great. So I think that's probably the reason why we get so much hate.
Yeah, but I do think that there's just a lot of different things that wind up going about it, but I just still take a look, especially during that 2020 and 21 season, at who they want to play out of conference. They beat Kansas on a neutral court and did so by double digits. Yep. They wind up taking down West Virginia. They took down Iowa. They took down Virginia. I mean, the list goes on and on. So we could always say that they wind up playing nobody when it comes to the actual conference portion, but I've conference this team every single year. They do wind up challenging themselves as well. So I always do think that that's an interesting part of things. And what I do think is interesting as well is taking a look to see how some of these rosters are going to be constructed as well, because we still do have a couple guys that they wound up having some NBA draft decisions that they wound up going back in the portal. Malachi Smith, in my opinion, was really the big one. The fact that he wound up going to Gonzaga was massive. But I still take a look at Amani Bates along with Pete Nance. These are two guys that are out there in the transfer portal, and they've got big decisions to make. And though it's relatively late in the portal process, I think where these two guys wind up going, they're going to be able to really elevate those teams that wind up being able to get that last-minute big get.
Yeah, I agree. I think maybe Amani Bates will probably end up going to Louisville if he doesn't decide to go choose another way. I think that makes a lot of sense with him. And then for Nance, I can see maybe at Carolina. I know they took a big swing at Matthew Mayer and they weren't able to get him, so maybe this is the guy they go, maybe they get instead.
Yep, I do think that that could be the case in which they do wind up going out and getting him. And the team that wound up getting Matthew Mayer in Illinois, I take a look at them, and I know that a lot of people have been quick to anoint Indiana as that top team out there in the Big Ten, but I took a look at Illinois, and I think that this is a school that's in for a very good year. You tell that the Andre Curbelo experiment just did not wind up working out for him, and you wish Andre Curbelo all the best over there at St. John's, but I take a look at the coach, Brad Underwood, that has played in a wide variety of styles. He wound up playing that pressing style while he's at Stephen F. Austin. He was trying to do that a little bit more when it came to his time at Illinois. When Kofi Coburn wound up coming into the fold, he really slowed things down, made things just run through him a little bit more. And I think that this is an Illinois team that is set up for success because they do have a coach that is willing to adapt to his players rather than just have the same style no matter the guys and try to just sort of fit round pegs into square holes for a little bit, lack of better term. So I do think that Illinois has a good chance to be able to really do some good work out there in the Big Ten this season.
No, I agree as well. I mean, they have a really good recruiting class. Bring in Scott Clark, basically a five-star recruit, Ty Rogers, Jaden Epps, nice class. You bring in Matthew Mayer, who we just talked about, Terrence Shannon, Danger from Baylor. So they have a good class, and I think people need to realize as well, they have two open scholarships available. So some of these, you know, portal guys, they might be able to even snag one late. So that's something to also keep your eye out on.
Oh, absolutely. I do think that that would be really interesting as well. And who knows, maybe they wind up being able to get another big-time transfer portal haul as well, because they have been very active in that sphere as well. As we do have Tobias Bass of The Athletic joining me on the podcast. And Tobias, I know that you're out there in the great state of Texas, and I know a school that you've been buzzing a little bit about, a school that I'm very high on as well. That'd be Houston. And I take a look at this Houston team, and they had a little bit of an NBA draft decision of their own, and Marcus Sasser decided to come back to school. And I think that this is a program that is set up for success with Sasser coming back. You would have loved to have seen them be able to get Kenny Lofton. That did not wind up turning out to be the case. He played his way into probably being drafted. We shall see about that in a few weeks, but you wish him absolutely nothing but the best. But I take a look at Houston, a team that was ravaged by injury last season. They're bringing back much of their pieces. We're still a little bit TBD on Kyler Edwards, whether or not he's going to be coming back or not. But I take a look at Houston, and I know that you're a recruiting guy. Jarence Walker being a top 15, top 20 guy coming in big for them as well. And I think that Houston is one of those teams that we've got to be considering one of the best in the country coming in as well.
Yeah, I agree. I think they right now, with Sasser coming back, they probably have to be, I think, at the minimum preseason top five. And I think what's going to help them so much is last year, unfortunately, they were ravaged by injuries, but I think you're going to see some positivity come out of that. Some of the guys on their team, Ramon Walker, et cetera, those guys weren't expected to play, but they had to play because of so many injuries. So I think you're going to have bench guys that were starting basically half the year. They're going to be coming off your bench, so they're going to be super experienced. You bring in a five-star McDonald's All-American and Walker. You bring in another solid, really good four-star player in Terrence Arsenault. So I think they're loaded. They're going to be one of the better teams in the country all year, and they're a team that I think they could win a national championship at the end of the day.
Yep, I do think that Houston, one of the big beneficiaries of everything that we did wind up seeing the last few days, I certainly do think that they're set up for success. I know that you wound up bringing up Michigan as a team in which we were hoping to see one of those guys wind up coming back. They did not wind up coming back, but also with regards to NBA draft decisions as well, I take a look at a school in Colorado State, and I felt like out of the big losers, they might have been one of the biggest of them, because I felt like the David Roddy decision was just most impactful with regards to their respective team. If he would have came back to Colorado State, I felt like they had a chance to be a top 25 team. I thought that they were going to be a school that would be towards the top of the Mountain West once again. And I still think that this team is in for a relatively solid season. You bring back Isaiah Stevens, a good solid point guard. But I take a look at Colorado State, and I felt like out of all the schools, their one decision was the biggest individual player decision out there on the board as to what it meant for the team. And that not going their way, I felt like they were really one of the schools that wound up taking a big hit over the last few days.
Yeah, I agree. Now, that was tough. I thought that he was actually going to come back, but seeing him end up leaving, that's a big blow for their team. And they'll figure it out. They're well coached, but it was unfortunate, you know, to see some of those major teams take a big blow like that.
I agree with you, as we do have Tobias Basher and be right here on the podcast. Going to be really interested to take a look at what winds up happening with them out there in the Mountain West moving forward. And just when it comes to sleeper teams in general, with everything that we've wound up seeing the last few weeks, has there been a team or two that has really jumped out to you this offseason that has had just whether it be via recruits, via the transfer portal, NBA draft decisions, what have you, that they've just really had a good run of things here in the offseason that maybe they're not getting enough love that they deserve.
I'm going to actually go with a mid-major team. I'm going to look at Missouri State. Missouri State had a phenomenal transfer portal season. You bring in Chance Moore. He was a four-star recruit. I believe he got hurt at Arkansas, so he didn't play. You bring him in. You bring in Kendall Moore, a good guard at Colorado State that comes in. You bring in the Maryland transfer. I can't remember his name right now. It's something to my tongue, but he was another four-star recruit. He didn't play much or hardly at all at Maryland. You bring in all three of those guys. You look at another guy, Austin Mason, transfer from Oklahoma. Matthew Lee from St. Peter's. They're going to have a really, really good team. I think they're going to be one of those mid-major sneaky teams that they're going to be able to schedule some high-major teams. I think they could even beat them, definitely compete. So I'm excited to see what they do over there because they're super well coached and they're a team that I would not want to play if I was anybody.
Yeah, Missouri State is going to be very intriguing because they did wind up bringing quite a few guys that, like you mentioned, they just wound up not being fits at their respective schools, but they were very highly ranked, very athletic guys. So I do think that they have a lot of players that are coming in with a whole bunch of upside and a man with a bunch of upside and shows it every single day. That'd be you, Tobias. You do a terrific job over there at The Athletic covering all things, not just college basketball, but basketball in general, because you do a great job taking a look at the high school sports scene. I know that you do a lot with regards to these NBA draft prospects, year in and year out, just taking a look at the game of college basketball itself as well. So let the good people at home know they're able to follow you on social media and just what you've got going on in general.
You can follow me on Twitter at Tobias_Bass. That's TOBIAS_Bass. Right now, you know, we're preparing for the NBA draft at The Athletic. You know, the finals also starts today. So just make sure you go ahead and subscribe to our content. We're putting out a bunch of different stuff every day. We have some of the best writers and the people in the world that are working for The Athletic. So I'm definitely excited to see all the content that we're going to be posting, not only today, but just, you know, all year long. So definitely go out there and subscribe. And also want to give a shout out to you, man. You're one of the hardest workers in the business. I love coming on your show. It's one of my favorite shows to actually come on consistently. So keep going at it, man.
I appreciate it. Tobias, always happy to bring you aboard because you're a man that you know yourself when it comes to college basketball all 12 months out of the year. You are covering this sport. You are grinding hard. So that is always appreciated. Tobias, one of the best in the business, always brings it when he's on this podcast and did so once again today. So big thanks to Tobias Bass of The Athletic for joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops, all part of the VSiN Family Podcast. And coming up next, it is that time of the podcast to give you a little bit of a recap as to all the news and notes that we saw in college basketball on Thursday.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Eats with myself, Greg Hughes Spears, and now part of the VSiN family of podcasts. Tobias Bass is doing a great job of being able to cover the game of basketball and does amazing work over there at The Athletic. He joined me today, brought the goods once again, so always appreciate that, and I always appreciate the fact that we've got lots to talk about in college basketball. Even when it seems like things are slowing down, we still got lots of moves, and we saw some big transfer portal moves on Thursday, so let's recap those, as you didn't mind seeing Felipe Haas decide that he is going to be going to Southern Miss, and this is probably the biggest win that Southern Miss has gotten since the Donnie Tindall days, as he wound up putting up last season over there in the SoCon for Mercer, 14.8 points, 3 assists, 5.5 rebounds, shot 40.5% from three-point range as a 6'9" combo player. Now, he's going to need to bring a little bit of the defense that he learned at Mercer to Southern Miss because they were wretched on defense last year. They were pretty wretched on offense as well. Southern Miss, they need to be able to get a little bit of upward momentum, and this is how you wind up starting it. They also are bringing in Neftali Alvarez, his teammate from Mercer. He wound up being quite banged up last season, but if you're able to take a look at what Alvarez wound up doing pretty much two seasons ago, even what he wound up doing at Fairfield, he will be a solid point guard, 2020-21 season, 13.5 points, 4 assists, steal and a half per contest, low 30s, 3-point shooter before being held to just 12 games this past season due to injury. They also are going to be bringing in Sebastian Gulatan. He is a 6'10 gentleman that did a solid job of being able to clog things up down low while he was at South Carolina. Austin Crowley is going to be coming into the fold. You've got a little bit of question mark as to really the post play with Gulatan and company, but the backcourt looks to be pretty secure with Southern Miss. And for Southern Miss, I mean, we're going to call it what it is. Not necessarily the greatest situation last few seasons, but they're still out there in Conference USA. I do think that they are going to be able to right the ship a little bit more. And you know what? Things are on the up and up and up for them, despite the fact that Jerron Pierre, Tyler Stevenson are now on the fold for this team. They did wind up losing Isaiah Moore as well, but they do have a nice base now with bringing in these backcourt pieces. And I do think that they're going to be able to build a little bit of upward momentum. This one was a little bit of a surprise to me, as you wound up seeing Jamel Horton decide that he is going to be going from Albany to Mississippi State. Just doesn't seem like a guy that is going to be able to deliver a lot for Mississippi State. Now, I absolutely love the fact that you do wind up having coming in from New Mexico State a guy that really knows how to bring in transfers in Chris Jans, but certainly with Horton, was a nice player last year at Albany, 12.5 points, 4 assists, steal per contest, was able to shoot about 36% from 3, and he is a JUCO guy, and we know Chris Jans loves JUCO guys, but I take a look at Horton, and I don't see him as much more than a guy that winds up coming in off the bench. He was the defensive player of the year in the America East, so that does need to be mentioned as well. This is not a Mississippi State team I think is going to be absolutely gunning it or anything like that in terms of their offense, but I do think that he's going to be able to play a little bit of a role. I just don't know if he's necessarily the world's greatest fit with Mississippi State, so that'll remain to be seen. We wound up seeing Sam Ekawaba. He was actually an AEC all-freshman at Maine. He was able to put up as a freshman right around 6 points per contest, was someone that was coming in off the bench, only shot right around 28% from three-point range, but considering what Maine was last season, they needed a little bit of a bright spot, and Mr. I'll just call him Sam because the last name is very hard to say. He was a little bit of a bright spot for this team. That is going to be a little bit of a blow. You take a look at him from New Year's on, final 15 games of the season, was putting up right around 7.5 points per contest. 3-point shooting was still right around 25%, but he was all able to get the team a steal per contest as well, a little bit of a 6'5 player that had a bit of promise, so that is going to wind up hurting them. Duke wound up getting a nice break in that Tyrese Proctor, who was a commit for them for the class of 2023. He is reclassifying to the class of 2022, and 24/7 Sports in their class of 2023, they had him as the number 11 guy, someone who's 6'4", so relatively solid size as a point guard, is able to do a relatively solid job of being able to pop some shots. This is going to be big for a Duke team that they haven't done a lot with regards to the transfer portal, but they've got the number one recruiting class out there in all of college basketball, and you just take a look at all these guys that are coming in for this team, and it is absolutely excellent as you take a look at what 24 Sports has these guys ranked at. Derek Lively the second is number one, Derek Whitehead, he is number two, and then Kyle Filipowski is number four, so they're going to wind up, when it's all said and done, having, depending upon where he winds up going with regards to the class of 2022, I've got to think that he's going to be in the top 25. They're going to have three guys in the top four and then four guys in the top 25 being able to come in. And then you're able to throw in there Jeremy Roach and a few other guys from the team last season. And yeah, that's a pretty good lineup. Za'Darius Bowser, he was playing at Charleston Southern this last season and wound up being a starter for Charleston Southern. Didn't wind up putting up Mondo numbers or anything like that. 5 points per contest. Not a guy that was going to shoot a lot of threes at 6'9". He has decided that he's going to be entering in the transfer portal as well. Charleston Southern team that they just haven't been able to add a lot themselves. It has been a really, really rough go of it for the folks over there. I mean, you just love the way that Barclay Radabaugh tries to keep things upbeat and everything like that. But boy, they wound up winning a combined 9 games the last two seasons. So things have certainly been a little bit of a downer, and this is not going to be helping them out at all. You wound up seeing Travion McCray decide that he is going to be going from Western Carolina, and he is going to be heading down a level. He is going to be going to South Carolina State out there in the MEAC, and I think he's going to be able to put some terrific numbers up out there in the MEAC. He pretty much decided to bolt from Western Carolina after about 11 games last season, and he was putting up good numbers. He was one of the team's top three scorers. He had 11.5 points, 5.5 rebounds, 3.5 assists per contest, shot 34% from 3-point range, not a guy with a ton of size, but with South Carolina State, they did wind up losing quite a bit last season after they were really able to build something after. Boy, it had been a really rough go of it for South Carolina State. Tony Madlock came in. He and his son TJ Madlock were able to do a very solid job. They wind up losing them, but clearly they have been able to form a base for this program, and all of a sudden, South Carolina State looking like a relatively solid MEAC team moving forward. So McCray, he's going to be going over there, and you got to figure that he's going to be one of the better players out there in the MEAC. Kurt Lewis, he was last season playing at Eastern Kentucky. He has decided that he is going to be going to John A. Logan College. This is actually one of the best JUCO schools in all of college basketball, but still a little bit surprising. I believe that Sean East wound up playing there last year as well. And take a look at it. I mean, he put up some good numbers at Eastern Kentucky. 9.5 points, 1.2 steals per contest, shot 34.5% from 3-point range. Free throw shooting needs a little bit of work, but 5 rebounds per game as a 6'5 combo player. Got to figure that he's going down to John A. Logan, play there for a year and try to really build up that stock, and then sort of be like Sean East, who wound up going to Missouri, being able to resurface with a power program. I think that that's a play for Kurt Lewis, because there's no other way to explain a guy that wound up putting up nearly 10 points per game both last season and the season before at Eastern Kentucky, going down to John A. Logan College. Once again, I mean, a power out there when it comes to junior colleges, but still a junior college school. So that is very interesting to take a look at. Elijah Wood, he last season was playing at Eastern Illinois and wound up beginning his career in Nebraska. I thought that when he was going to go to Eastern Illinois that he was going to be able to put up some numbers. No. 2.5 points per game for an Eastern Illinois team that this was one of the most brutal offenses that you could find. Out of 358 D1 teams, 357th with regards to points per game, while being 7th in turnovers per game. So that was not necessarily so great. He has decided that he's going to go down to Tallahassee Community College. You got to think that he's doing what Kurt Lewis is doing, only he didn't wind up having the numbers to start with. He's going down to the community college level. He's going to try to play there for a year or two, build up his stock, and then try to resurface with a little bit of a better school. And let's call it what it is. You really can't go too much further down than Eastern Illinois right now, which I still am just baffled as to why they wound up making the coaching change a couple of years ago to Marty Simmons. They wound up letting go of a guy in Jay Spoonhour who he had a really bad set of circumstances during the 2020-21 season. They let go of him, and then everyone wound up transferring out of the program, and Eastern Illinois has just pretty much shot their own program by letting go of their coach. And it's like that good old gif of the guy that winds up shooting someone and he wonders, oh, who shot this person? That's right now what Eastern Illinois has done with regards to their program with that firing of Jay Spoonhour. So that has been not necessarily a great situation there. David Ingeson, he was playing this last season at Virginia Tech. He has decided that he is going to be moving on to Kansas State. Someone who just wasn't necessarily a fit, in my opinion, at Virginia Tech. He's 6'9", 205 pounds, a little bit more of a true low post player. Tried to pop a couple threes, didn't wind up doing a lot of that, but 3.5 points, 2.5 rebounds. I think that he can be a very solid low post piece for Kansas State. I do think that Kansas State, with a new coaching regime coming in, they are going to be able to get things turned around with Tang and company, but that said, I do think that it's going to take a year or two for them. The cupboard relatively bare with Nigel Pack deciding to pack up and go to Miami for a nice sum of money. But to take a look at Kansas State and their haul this offseason, they wind up bringing in Ingeson. They also have Jarrell Colbert, who's going to be coming in from LSU. Someone that, once again, he's right around 6'10", didn't wind up seeing the minutes they had desired at LSU. Cameron Carter is also going to be coming along as well. He's going to be able to help fill out this backcourt a little bit. And it's not like Kansas State wound up losing absolutely everyone by the transfer portal, but gotta feel like in a absolutely stacked Big 12 that they're going to need a year or two to really be able to form themselves. This is one NBA draft decision that I did not wind up hitting upon yesterday, and the big reason why is because I didn't know whether to really take it seriously or not. Sharif O'Neal, he decided that he was going to withdraw his name from the NBA draft. He spent 1 year at UCLA, 2 years at LSU, and as of right now, he's still at LSU. We're going to see what winds up happening there, but the only reason why this guy has gotten any consideration whatsoever for a Power 5 program, for being in the NBA draft, what have you, is because his last name is O'Neal. And I mean, you wish the kid nothing but the best. He has dealt with a couple of health issues, and he was a former top 50 recruit in the class of 2018, but he's played 37 career games, averaging 11 minutes per contest, 2.5 points, 3 rebounds per game. Do I think that there might be a little bit of untapped potential here with this 6'10 gentleman? Yes. At the same time, you're really rolling the dice if you're bringing him in. I mean, for LSU, being able to keep him on the roster, that'd be good for them, but I just don't know what's going on at this point with him. He decided to withdraw from the NBA draft, so we shall see what winds up happening there moving forward. And then, obviously, we want to touching upon this with Tobias Bass, the fact that Malachi Smith, he has decided to transfer to Gonzaga. Mentioned it a little bit earlier, I think that Gonzaga should be the number one team in all of college basketball as of right now. And once again, this doesn't mean fire in all your money on Gonzaga futures or anything like that. Very much when it comes to the NCAA tournament, whoever winds up winning it, a lot of it has to do with the draw. At no point last year, Kansas, the team that I wound up filling out with regards to my NCAA tournament bracket, the team that wound up winning it all, I never had them power ranked number one. It was because they wound up having a very easy region and they wound up getting a lot of favorable matchups as to why I wound up taking them in my bracket. So always keep that in mind. But Malachi Smith, 20 points, 3 assists, 6.5 rebounds, shot 41% from 3, with bringing back Julian Strother, his right around 12 points per game. Rajir Bolton shot nearly 44% from 3-point range. Drew Timmy's back after he averaged 18.5 points, 7 rebounds per game. Efton Reed is a former top 40 recruit that is right around 6'10", 7 feet tall, that's able to pop threes. This is a loaded team with Nolan Hickman taking another stride forward along with Hunter Salas. This team is going to be very, very dangerous. I think that it's hard to deny them that number one spot coming into the season. Now, what winds up happening once the ball is tipped, once we wind up seeing these games get started, adjustments will certainly be made, because there were times last year where I thought that Gonzaga was pretty clearly the number one team in all of college basketball. I wound up having my question marks with them after a few losses, so certainly there's going to be a lot of adjustments made, but as I see it right now, I do think that Gonzaga, just in my personal opinion, is that number one team, with being able to bring in Malachi Smith and getting all three guys to come back that wound up having major draft decisions. And we are getting closer and closer to being able to start our college basketball conference previews on this podcast as well. I should have the first one up, I would say, within the next 7 days, if not the next 5. So we are currently working hard on that. I'm going to be starting out with these low to mid-major conferences like the Atlantic Sun, the America East, Big South, what have you, and and then we're going to work our way up to the Power Conference level. And if you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you've got a question, comment, segment, idea, whatever you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at GUnit_81. Keep in mind, letters CM. They mean does not matter, size per usual. Please send these into the timeline, and the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. A big thanks once again to our man Tobias Bass over there at The Athletic for joining me in the last segment. Coming at you guys every single day throughout the year in general offseason, taking a look at the news and notes of college basketball. And then once we wind up getting in-season picks and analysis on every single game, every single day. So I will be coming at you guys once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.